All right, today's reading comes from the 20th chapter of John, beginning with the 19th verse. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, they had locked all the doors in the house. And Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples, seeing the Master with their own eyes, were exuberant. And Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you. Just as the Creator sent me, I send you." Then he took a deep breath, breathed into them, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive someone's sins, they are gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?" I'll read that again. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't, what are you going to do with them? All right. So, it's Pentecost Sunday. Does everybody know what Pentecost Sunday is? Besides changing to red?
50 days after Easter.
About what?
7 weeks after Easter.
Okay.
That's the time when Jesus sins.
Well, that was Ascension Sunday. That was last week. But what is Pentecost in the church? Come on. You've been in church all this time and you don't know what Pentecost is?
It's when Jesus gives you your marching orders.
So, technically, Pentecost is the birthday of the church, so happy birthday to the church. Secondly, it is a recognition. Did I ring? Oh. It is a recognition of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I use today's reading. Because, folks, I want you to know that we've gotten all messed up over the years over this whole Pentecostal thing. I remember the arguments that used to go on between my family members who were United Methodist, and then there was this one little corner of our family that belonged to the Pentecostal church. And oh my God, there was not more of a difference in how people worshiped. The United Methodists were God's chosen frozen. They didn't laugh at anything. There was no emotion. They just kind of sat there. The pastor did his 20-minute sermon, and you were out by 5 to 12, and on Communion Sunday, you were out by 12:15. You know? In the Pentecostal church, oh my heavens, they were dancing in the Spirit and singing and yelling and foot stomping, hand clapping, and carrying on.
All day long.
Amen. I mean, the service would start at, well, the interesting thing about a Pentecostal service is service time would be at 11 o'clock, but they have praise time that starts at 10:30. That just kind of leads you into the thing. And so it's a very emotional time. So what I wanted to share with you this morning, though, is something I think that goes deeper than whether the Holy Spirit makes you, you know, crazy happy and you do all these dances and speak in other languages, or whether it's just something that hits you and you just kind of sit there and take it. And we celebrate the church's birthday, and we say happy birthday. Jesus, when he appeared to the disciples, promised them that he would give them a helper. Now, this is one of the reasons, folks, and I get into trouble when I say that I'm not a Trinitarian. I'm not an existentialist, but I'm not a Trinitarian. I think that there is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, but I think those are three separate entities that's all controlled by God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So the Holy Spirit was what Jesus said was going to come along, that after he was gone, that would fill you in your mind, your conscience, so you know the difference between right and wrong. You know the difference between right and wrong, don't you? Right? Do you know the difference between right and wrong?
Yes.
Okay. So you know that if these are mine, right? So you wouldn't take those, right? Because that would be wrong. Right? Right. Okay. So that is essentially what the Holy Spirit is supposed to be about. It's also supposed to be about giving us strength to do that which God calls us to do. Now, who wants to take a shot at what we're supposed to be doing as followers and being in relationship with God? Anybody want to take a shot?
If you can't do it in front of your mama, don't do it.
Okay. What are we supposed to be doing? Go ahead, Robert.
Just stand up for God's word.
Okay. Stand up for God's word.
I have two things.
Okay.
Love God with all your passion, prayer, and intelligence.
Okay.
And love, mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with God.
There you go. I mean, those are the basic premise. And what did Jesus say the Holy Spirit was about? Was to give us the strength so that we could do those things. That, to me, is more important to understand about the Holy Spirit than anything else. I mean, if it causes you to dance, if it causes you to speak in another tongue, that's all fine and good. But it's not a measurement of how good a Christian you are. If you don't believe in all of that stuff, that's fine too. But understand that the Spirit does reside in you to give you a source of strength. You know, there was a point where Jesus said, if you have to go to court, don't worry about what you go to say or not say. The Spirit, if you're open to it, will give you the words. Amen?
Amen.
How many times has the Spirit worked in this church? Amen? I mean, you know, one week we don't think we got enough money to buy paper towels. Amen? And the next thing you know, there's money. It's sitting right there. There are times, and I go through this as a pastor because I sit there and I start counting heads, right? And every week we always seem to have the people that need to be here for whatever that reason is. So, if we're all indwelled with the Holy Spirit, what are we supposed to do with it? Is it about dancing? Is it about crazy prayers? No. You've all heard this before. This is old. But I would like to challenge us to redo it. You remember a woman by the name of Ann Herbert? You remember that name? She's a writer who lived in California, and she accidentally started a movement called, quote, Practicing Random Acts of Kindness and Senseless Acts of Beauty. Practicing Random Acts of Kindness and Senseless Acts of Beauty. She came up with the phrase while doodling on a restaurant placement mat in Sausalito one day. A man sitting nearby thought it was wonderful, and he copied it onto his placemat. All of a sudden, people all over were copying down the phrase and doing what it suggested. The objective of those who subscribe to this movement is quite simple. It is to do kind things for other people for absolutely no reason other than the fact that you want to make the world a better place. Those who commit random acts of kindness do things like pay the toll for their own car at the toll gate and then the toll for the next six cars behind them. Or they take a beautiful plant into the police station to brighten the environment. Or they let a person in the grocery line behind them to go before them. Or they smile and offer a hug to a harried clerk. Or compliment a stranger on a bus on how good they look. According to Ann Herbert, some of the things that have been done by those who have caught the spirit of practicing random acts of kindness and senseless beauties include shoveling snow from their neighbor's walk when no one was looking. Leaving a generous tip for a waiter who has provided poor service. Planting daffodils along the highway. Writing an old school teacher to let her know what a difference she has made to you. And going out and scrubbing graffiti off of park benches. Folks, if we're going to be filled with the Spirit, that's why I want to reinstitute and bring that back to your mind of practicing random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. Because that is what we're about, is it not?
Amen.
We don't judge folks when we feed them. We give out hygiene kits and don't make any judgments. It's just the right thing to do. And if you want to have a better week, you know, we all struggle with our challenges, amen? You know, some of us are get up in the morning and are kind of grouchy. There's other folks that are fighting addictions of one type or another. One of the greatest ways to fight an addiction and the hold that it has on you is to do this. Do a random act of kindness. And this crazy, beautiful thing for people, and you will find that you don't need whatever the addiction is that's got a hold of you. Amen? So, if we're going to make Pentecost worth something, if we're going to do something with the church's birthday, then let's reinstitute this. Let's go about and challenge ourselves this week to do a random act of kindness and something that's beautiful. Something that is going to make a difference for those people around us. Because you know what, folks? I thought about this the other day. What kind of world would we live in if everybody grabbed a hold of this and was doing nice things for people for no other reason than it was a good thing to do? And how does that add up to the person who would strap a bomb to themselves and kill 70, 80, 90 people? How does that add up to the city that you live in that brings in bulldozers to move the homeless out of their encampments? How does that add up when people cannot get their medications? Folks, it is a hard chore, but it starts with us. If we want to celebrate the birthday of the church and be different, and not have to feel like we got to explain ourselves, then practice that random act of kindness. And understand that you don't have to do too much to do a senseless act of beauty. Because folks, quite frankly, that's what God has made each of you this day, is a beautiful person in the love of God. God bless you.